This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. On Tuesday of last week, people all through New Hampshire and Vermont held their collective breath after word of an active shooter at Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center in Lebanon. The campus was on lockdown for several hours, and eventually, Travis Frink of Warwick, Rhode Island, was taken into custody on first-degree murder charges after allegedly shooting his mother at the hospital. While the panic level may have dropped after Frink's capture, the idea of a shooting in a hospital unnerved many people, to say the least. A hospital is different from a school or other places where, at least in theory, everyone can evacuate if necessary. So what happens at a hospital in a situation like this? Chris Bell is the director of the Division of Emergency Preparedness, Response, and Injury Prevention for the Vermont Department of Health. So he's in charge of helping hospitals in Vermont be prepared, and he's with us now. Chris, nice to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Jane. Good afternoon.
So you work with the state of Vermont. You mainly work with Vermont hospitals, but I understand that officials from Dartmouth-Hitchcock sit in on your meetings because so many patients and ambulances and other services are tied to Vermont, even at Dartmouth-Hitchcock. So what do you actually do to work with hospitals?
Right. So for at least 15 years, just a couple years after 9/11, the Hospital Emergency Preparedness Committee in Vermont gets together on a monthly basis. We discuss plans and scenarios, things that could happen, put together their response plans. Then they go back to their respective hospitals and decide with their local partners how they're going to respond to any kind of emergency. That's been the case, again, for at least 15 years, probably a little bit before that as well. Dartmouth-Hitchcock has been a full participant for many years. I've been here 7 years, at least that long. And they do the same thing. It's an in-depth process, everything from kind of thinking about what are the possible issues that could arise or the scenarios that you could have happen, and then working on plans with your local partners to respond the best you can.
And I imagine those plans are or will have to be pretty detailed because you're talking about lots of different parts of a hospital organization, so many different people, so many different shifts of workers coming on, and then patients who aren't aware of what the protocol is but who have to be guided. I mean, they must be extremely detailed plans.
There are. We have this thing that in emergency management we refer to as all hazards planning. So, you know, in this case, we're talking about a shooting and a horrible event, but it could be a flood, as we're seeing down south, or a winter storm that they lose power, things like that. And so it is. They're pretty detailed plans with and a lot of training and exercising or practice of those plans occurs after they're developed and on an ongoing basis. Every hospital has rotation of employees that come and go, and ongoing training of that and ongoing practice is one of the key things that they do.
Can we talk about not specifically what happened on Tuesday, but in a situation like that where there is a lockdown and a partial evacuation in progress, what happens to patients who are undergoing care at that moment that can't be, you know, postponed, who are in surgery or who are in labor, or, you know, what happens to people who are actually undergoing a medical procedure or who are in the ER at the time?
Right. Well, the what you described as a lockdown is probably a pretty good description of one of the major ways that hospitals take care of it, because as you pointed out, they can't just remove everybody, can't just evacuate everybody immediately. So it really is isolating the if it's an offender, if it's an individual who's maybe going to cause harm or is violent, isolating that person from other places, make sure nobody else can enter into the facility to cause more harm, and then making sure that security and public safety can get as quickly as possible to wherever they're needed. Initially, certainly law enforcement, and then subsequently EMS and rescue if that's needed as well.
What happens to ambulances and helicopters that are en route to a critical care facility? And in our area, that would be UVM Medical Center or Dartmouth-Hitchcock. What do they do?
Right. So in the event last week, we actually were able to send messages to all the EMS providers in Vermont to divert away from that hospital once Dartmouth had declared that they were on lockdown and their doors were essentially shut to new patients. You know, we don't know of any patient that would have been harmed by that. You know, there are we are lucky in Vermont that while we don't have a lot of hospitals, we have hospitals fairly evenly distributed. Nobody had a terribly long drive to go beyond where they normally would have gone if they had normally gone to Dartmouth.
So you're not aware of anybody whose health was adversely affected by that lockdown?
Right.
Because you can imagine there might be a case where there was. I mean, somebody in a real critical care situation who has to go to a hospital that has certain facilities, if you're at Dartmouth-Hitchcock or almost there, UVM Medical Center is an hour and a half away.
Absolutely. You know, I could imagine scenarios, but there, you know, we have a statewide system, and as does New Hampshire as well, of acute care hospitals that can do virtually everything to initially stabilize a patient, as well as emergency medical service licensees who, again, can do a lot in the back of an ambulance on the way to a facility before they even reach the ER door. So happily, luckily, we think that that didn't happen.
Are there procedures in place for organ donation, which, again, is very time sensitive, and if a patient is in a hospital awaiting a transplant, you know, that could be another situation where there has to be some accommodation made.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to speak to specific plans, but I'm sure if their hospital is one of that provides those services, that's one of the things they'd be planning for.
An emergency plan is only as effective as the people who are carrying it out. What is the actual ongoing training or practice that people do in these hospital situations to make sure that when something happens in that moment of panic, that they are calm and know what to do?
Right. I don't know, calm. I mean, I think that's, you know, it'd be a strange and a exciting, anxious, anxiety-producing event for anybody. It's ongoing training, initial training, probably from the moment they get hired as, what do you do for a fire drill? What do you do in case of a fire? What are the different kind of alerts that a hospital might carry or might call? You get to the point of having tabletop exercises where people sit around and discuss kind of what their actions would be, all the way up to the full-scale exercise where people actually go out and practice. Here's how you would actually lock down. Here's how you would actually transport patients if you needed to in an emergency or disaster.
How often do those happen? I mean, I have worked in places where we were prone to earthquakes, and we all knew where the earthquake kit was. But one time we opened it up, and I mean, none of us would have made it if something had happened because it was depleted. There were not enough toilets. I mean, there was like it just wasn't going to work. So you have to do that often, and you have to do all these checks all the time, right?
Right. No, it's on an ongoing basis. I mean, we all the hospitals in Vermont participate, and New Hampshire participate in the Hospital Emergency Preparedness Program. Part of that is a federally funded program that we are able to help support some of their activities. They're required to do certain kinds of drills on a quarterly basis. We practice communicating different methods with the hospitals, including satellite phones and ham radio operators. So it's an ongoing basis. And of course, every hospital is going to do it a little bit differently and kind of to the level of their abilities, just like with everything else that they provide. But everybody practices it. I think no hospital would be surprised that these are the kinds of things that they have to be at risk for. I think we all hope and pray that that doesn't happen. But I think every hospital knows that it's out there and it's a possibility, and they practice for it and take it seriously.
Chris Bell is Director of the Division of Emergency Preparedness, Response, and Injury Prevention for the Vermont Department of Health. Thanks very much for talking to us a little bit about how hospitals actually prepare for these kinds of situations like the one Dartmouth-Hitchcock experienced.
Absolutely. They're great partners. Thank you, Jane.